So today we're reading from the Adi Lila Vishesha Vishayatamrita. We are reading from the 13th chapter, which is the chapter in which Lord Chaitanya appears in this world. And we're reading from text number 39. So if you can see, I don't know if it's big enough. You can see. Then you can repeat after me. Radha Sabat Sarashesha Rahila Nilachale. Can you see it? Are you going out yet? You can also, if you press control plus. Yeah, keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going. That's the best thing I learned from my degree. Okay, let's try again. Vadasvatsarya shesha gahila nilachale.
Vadasvatsarya shesha gahila nilachale.
Vasta sikhaila ashvadana chale.
Vasta sikhaila
ashvadana chale. Vadas Vishnu Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Lacey Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
For the remaining 12 years, he stayed in Jagannath Puri. He taught everyone how to taste the transcendental mellow of ecstasy, of love of Krishna, by tasting it himself. Purport. A person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness always feels separation from Krishna, because such a feeling of separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his last 12 years of existence within this world at Jagannath Puri, taught the people of the world how, with a feeling of separation, one can develop this dormant love of Krishna. Such feelings of separation or meeting with Krishna are different stages of love of God. These feelings develop in time when a person seriously engages in devotional service. The highest stage is called Prema Bhakti, but this stage is attained by executing Sadhana Bhakti. One should not try to elevate himself artificially to the stage of Prema Bhakti without seriously following the regulative principles of Sadhana Bhakti. Prema Bhakti is the stage of relishing, whereas Sadhana Bhakti is the stage of improving in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this cult of devotional service in full detail by practical application in his own life. It is said, therefore, Apani Achari Bhakti Sikhaimo Sabale. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, and in the role of a Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, he instructed the entire world how one can execute devotional service and thus go back home, back to Godhead in due course of time. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in this world for 48 years. And in those 48 years, he took sannyas at the age of 24. And after he took sannyas, the first thing he began doing is he traveled. And he traveled for 6 years. He went all around South India. He traveled on foot, 4,000 miles in 2 years. Everything in the Krishna consciousness movement, naturally, we're always bowing down. So for the first 6 years, after 24, then he was traveling all around India. He went to South India, he went to Vrindavan, he went to many, many places, and he was sharing the love of Krishna with everyone. Then at the age of 32, he came back to Jagannath Puri. And then in those years, in Jagannath Puri, then he simply stayed there. And he was teaching the residents of Jagannath Puri how to achieve love. Love is what we all seek. Everyone is looking for love. And we use the word love very cheaply. Nowadays, I love orange juice. I love that film. We use so cheaply. And one time on the street, I was distributing books, and I thought, people talk so much about love. Let me ask every single person I stop, what is your definition of love? So I asked every single person that day, you stop 200-300 people in a day. I asked every single person, how do you define love? And not one person could give me a good definition. Oh, it's a feeling, you can't define it, it's in the heart, it's very, no one can actually talk about love. Krishna is Lila Purushottam, he's the Supreme Lord who performs amazing pastimes. Ram is Maryada Purushottam, he's the Supreme Lord who shows the ideal example. Ideal husband, ideal king, ideal son. Maryad. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Prema Purushottam. He is the Supreme Lord who is teaching all about Prema. He is not just experiencing Prema, not just that anyone he comes in contact is achieving Prema or love, but then for generations to come, Apani Achari Bhakti Sikhayamu Sabale. He is teaching for generations to come how anyone can achieve love for Krishna. So we all talk about this in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, that our goal is to have love for Krishna. Put your hand up if you think you have some love for Krishna. Some love. Some love. Some love is there, isn't it? If I ask you, put your hand up if you think you have complete love for Krishna. That is a different story, not so easy. So gradually this love is unfolding like a flower, isn't it? In the beginning, our consciousness is last night covered. They say there is covered consciousness, a chaitana consciousness, a chaitana chaitana. This means like plants, isn't it here? I always remember this temple because everywhere you look there's plants around, like this greenery. So this is covered consciousness, kind of no expression. Isn't it? Stone or plant. This is covered consciousness, a chaitana consciousness. And then there is contracting consciousness. Consciousness is a little bit open, more open. You know what is contracting consciousness? Like for example, animals, reptiles, insects. They are more conscious than plants, isn't it? More expression. Then there is budding consciousness. Budding consciousness means humans, civilized humans. They can say more, they can do more, they can express more. This is called budding consciousness. Mukulita Chaitana. And then higher than that, Vikashita Chaitana. This means blooming consciousness, or consciousness which is now beginning to blossom. This means not just a human, but a human who is practicing sadhana bhakti. A human who is beginning to get in contact with God, understand who they are, who is God. They can have more expression, because they are not just expressing according to the body and mind, but the expression of the soul is now coming. And then there is the pure devotee, Purna Vikashita Chaitana. This means a pure, blossoming, blooming consciousness in complete. This is the devotee who has pure love of Godhead. So one who has love, they are able to express themselves the most. They have the highest expression. They dance, they laugh, they cry, they have full emotional expression because now all the emotions of the soul are coming out. And this is pure love of Godhead. So how many of us are having that experience of pure, blooming, blossoming consciousness that when you chant, you cannot stop crying? When you read, isn't it? Gadadhar, he was reading Bhagavatam and Srinivasacharya came to learn from him. And he opened the book and Gadadhar Pandit was going to teach him Bhagavatam. So he said, okay, let's sit down and learn Bhagavatam. And as soon as Srinivasacharya opened the book, everything was smudged. He said, how will you read Bhagavatam? You can't even read the words. Because Gadadhar Pandit, when he would read Bhagavatam, he would just cry incessantly. Have you ever cried reading Bhagavatam? That's not. Have you ever cried chanting the holy name of Krishna? Maybe. But was it for love of Krishna or was it for distress of the material world? Oh Krishna, why is this happening to me? Tadasmasaram hridayam vadedam yakriyamane harinavadhyayai navikriyethathayadavikaro netrejalam katraduheshu harsha. Second canto of Bhagavatam says, if you chant Krishna's names, but netre jalam, there's no jalam, there's no tears in the eyes. Na vikriyetha, there's no transformation in the heart. There's no hair standing on end. There's no shivering of the body. If you chant the holy name and none of these things happen, tadasmasaram hridayam vadedam. You have to understand you have a heart which is steel framed. So our heart has become very hard, isn't it? Would you agree? We get more hard-hearted. We become desensitized. I remember when I first went to London, I couldn't stand going into London as a child. You know why? Because in London I would see homeless people. And when I saw homeless people, it was too much for me. Like as a kid, I just couldn't see it. So I would avoid at all costs going into London because to see a homeless person was too much. And then I started studying at university and I saw homeless people every day. And then after some days you just walk past and you don't even think. Okay, homeless person. You don't even notice them. You become so desensitized. You sometimes have to stop and think, what does it mean to be a homeless person? What does it mean that you sleep on the street all night? When we just used to distribute books in the marathon time, we used to distribute all day. And then there was a point at about 9, sometimes we would go very late distributing books, 9 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock. And there was a point in the day about 9:30 at night, when the whole street would empty out of all the shoppers because all the shops close. And then there would be a period when all the homeless people would then come and they would all find their shop for the night where they were going to sleep. And you realize this is their reality. It's like, wow, we're going home now to a warm room and this is where they sleep. See, you realize, my God. So the heart is naturally soft. The heart naturally has many emotions, but over time the heart has become very, very hard. And therefore, only when we develop this love for Krishna will the heart become soft again. Then we will become very sensitive to everyone and everything, and many and many emotions will come out. But that sometimes may seem very, very far away. How much love do I have? So what I'm going to do for you in the next 15-20 minutes, and then I'll open it up for questions, is you may think, how much love do I have? How much love have I actually developed for Krishna? When I asked you all whether you felt you had some love for Krishna, you all said yes. And that's a fact. But how can we actually measure and understand that we are developing more love for Krishna? That's where Chaitanya Charitamrita is very, very valuable, because Chaitanya Charitamrita will give you many definitions of what it means to have love. Anyone can say, isn't it? We meet so many in Hindu. I am loving Krishna. I love Krishna so much. Krishna is my lala. And maybe they do, we cannot judge anyone. But if there is actually love, then these things will happen. So let me share with you a few things which indicate the level of love that we have for Krishna. In the Adi Leela 6:53, this definition is given of love. Krishna premra eka purva prabhav guru sama laguke kore dasya bhav. First indicator Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. The very first definition, or one of the most foundational definitions of someone who has prema, is service. To love Krishna means to love to serve Krishna. If one says, I love Krishna, but their service attitude is very, very small, their desire to actually do something for Krishna is very meager. When they wake up in the morning, they don't really think, what will I do today to serve Krishna or serve the devotees? Then we can understand that person may say they love Krishna, but love means to love to serve Krishna. These two things go hand in hand. One time, Shruti Keti Prabhu, he was traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and the devotees would meet Prabhupada at the airport, and then they would go mad, they would be dancing, sometimes crying, sometimes fainting. And Shruti Keti Prabhu, he was with Srila Prabhupada, and once he said to Srila Prabhupada, these devotees have so much love for you. They're dancing, they're crying, they have so much. But I never feel like this. I don't feel like this. And Prabhupada was quiet. And Prabhupada said, but do you like to serve me? And Shruti Keti Prabhu said, Prabhupada, that's my life. I love to serve you. Prabhupada said, then you have love. That is love. Love is not just a feeling, but love is the desire to do more and more for Krishna, to do more and more for Srila Prabhupada, to do more and more for the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada was told to preach in the English world, isn't it? He could have made one trip to the English world and then come back and said, I fulfilled the order of my guru. But he didn't. He traveled. And then he traveled more, and then he continued traveling, and for the rest of his life he just traveled in the English world teaching. Prabhupada was told, write books in the English. He could have wrote one book, but what did he do? Right till the end of his life he was translating the books, because the desire to serve was so great. Prabhupada could have opened one temple, but he didn't. He continually opened more and more and more. So how do we know we're developing in our love for Krishna? We will be having an increasing desire to serve Krishna. Then you can actually say you have love. Dasya bhava, this spirit of service must be there. Here's another definition of one who has love. This is probably one of the most famous definitions of love. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned, Atmendriya Priti Vansha Tarbalikam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kaam or lust, but the desire to please the senses of Krishna is called prema. If the first definition of love is that, service becomes very prominent. The second definition of love is that when one actually has love, they become selfless. Most of our life, we're always thinking in every situation, how will this affect me? Isn't it? Like you hear some news on the, you know, and there's a war in Ukraine. And the natural thought is, how does that affect me? Isn't it? Yeah, thousands of people are dying, all of that stuff, but how does it affect me? There's going to be a tube strike on the 19th of August. How does that affect me? It's amazing how in every situation we always then go to a default of, how does this affect me? Yesterday we were talking this, that we have so much feeling that the world revolves around us. So when one is having more and more love for Krishna, then there is more and more selflessness. They are not seeing the world with themselves at the center, but they're seeing the world with Krishna at the center. They're not making decisions which are just about what's going to be convenient, comfortable for them, but they're making decisions on what will be pleasing and joyous to Krishna. So in this way, one's selflessness is growing. Even when a devotee seems to do something which is selfish, the very core of a devotee is that their mood is always selfless. Just like Krishna came to Vrindavan, of course we know, and then he was living in Vrindavan, and then at one point Akrura came, isn't it? Akrura, the one who is not cruel. And when he was taking Krishna away to Mathura, then the gopis were chastising him. You are Akrura, your name means not cruel, but you are Akrura, you are so cruel, because you're taking Krishna away. How will we live without Krishna? How will we survive? How will our life still have meaning? And Krishna and Balaram are coming onto the chariot of Akrura, and Akrura begins to drive away to Mathura, and Krishna and Balaram want to go. They want to go, they want to kill Kamsa, they realize that's their next duty. But the gopis are stopping, Krishna from going. So then the acharyas commentate, but isn't a devotee selfless? Isn't a devotee looking at what Krishna's desires are? So therefore, why were the gopis stopping Krishna from going to Mathura? Because it was Krishna's desire to go to Mathura, isn't it? So why were the gopis stopping? Why were the gopis complaining? Why were the gopis chastising Akrura? He was simply fulfilling also what Krishna's desires were. But the acharyas explained that even when the gopis were stopping the chariot, they were not doing it for their selfish reasons. They were thinking, Krishna has become mad. He doesn't know that he's going to go to Mathura and how much he's going to miss Vrindavan. Momentarily, he's lost his mind. So we need to stop him from making this mistake, because he won't be able to be happy anywhere except Vrindavan. And therefore, even when the gopis are stopping Krishna from going to Vrindavan, he's not selfish, he's selfless. Devotee means selfless. The more we serve without considering, what is in it for me? What benefit will it give to me? When it's simply free of any of those motivations, then we can understand there's more and more love. So therefore, the second definition of someone who has love is they live with selflessness. Here is another definition of love given in Madhilila 4.186. Prakhada premera e svabhavachar nijadu kavik nadira nakare vichar. The natural result of intense love of Godhead is that the devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, they want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Steadiness. When one actually has love for Krishna, so many impediments may come, so many obstacles may come, so many difficulties may be there, but the natural feeling of love for Krishna does not subside. You see, when one's love is very small, then impediments can damage one's application or one's practice of devotional service. But when one has real love for Krishna, then all of those impediments, they simply serve to increase one's love. Just like if you have a small flame and then wind comes, then what happens? The flame is extinguished. But imagine you have a forest fire, and then the wind comes, then what happens? It goes bigger. So when one actually has love, there may be so many problems, there may be so many difficulties, there may be so many obstacles, health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, career problem, problem after problem. But none of those problems impede one's devotion to Krishna. Because pragada premera e svabhavachara nicha dukha vigna dira nakare vichara. There's no consideration of impediments or obstacles. When one has real love, nothing can stop that love. It's like, this is what Kunti prays for in Bhagavatam. What does she say? Vaime nanya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit. Ratim udvahatat adha gange vahu gumadandvati. She says, just as the Ganga flows towards the ocean without being impeded by anything, allow my devotion to flow similarly towards you without being diverted or obstructed by anything. So when, you know, you've seen like a river, when it flows, it flows. It doesn't matter what is in the way, it flows around it and it continues going to its destination. So this is love. That love means there is steadiness. There is never anything which can stop that flow. Here's another definition of prema. Hari shabde nanartha dui mukhyatam sarva amangala hare prema diyare man. Although the word Hari has many different meanings, two of them are foremost. One meaning is that the Lord takes away all inauspicious things from his devotee, and the second meaning is that he attracts the mind by ecstatic love for God. Spontaneity. Spontaneity of remembrance of Krishna. This is another natural remembrance of love. When our love is very small, then we have to force ourselves to remember Krishna. But when our love is very, very significant, then the mind is naturally flowing more and more towards Krishna. The word Hari means one who takes away. Krishna is a thief. Krishna steals the clothes of the gopis. Krishna steals the bhata in Vrindavan. But ultimately, Krishna is stealing the mind of the devotees. And therefore, when you actually have love, Krishna steals your mind. So that your mind keeps somehow or other going towards Krishna. Right now, our mind is not going towards Krishna. Therefore, we have to put pictures of Krishna everywhere. We have to change all the passwords on our computer to Krishna passwords. We have to make sure we got kirtan going on all the time. We have to do something somehow or other to fix our mind on Krishna, otherwise the mind will go somewhere else. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, then Uddhava came to the gopis, they were in such separation from Krishna. And Uddhava said, I've got a message from Krishna for you. Krishna said, if you think of me within your heart, then don't worry, I will always be with you. And the gopis looked at Uddhava and said, you're mad. The problem is not that we can't think of Krishna. The problem is we can't get him out of our mind. We can't do anything else. We're completely disabled. We're living in a suspended existence. We can't function. We can't focus on anything. Because Krishna has hijacked our consciousness. All the gopis were there together one day and they asked each of the gopis, they were, what did you dream about Krishna? What did you dream about Krishna? So they were all telling their dreams of Krishna. Then they came to Radharani, what did you dream about Krishna? Radharani was quiet. No, you tell us, what did you dream about Krishna? Radharani looked at the other gopis and said, dream of Krishna? Dream of Krishna. All night I was thinking about Krishna. I couldn't even go to sleep. Where is the question of dreaming about Krishna? So when the love is there, then the remembrance is there. Rupa Goswami prays very, very beautifully. Yuvati nam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvato yatha manobhi ramate tadvan manobhine ramatam tvai. He says, just as the minds of young girls are attracted to the boys. And just as the minds of the young boys are attracted to the girls, then let my mind as naturally be attracted towards you, Krishna. So that spontaneous drawing of the mind towards Krishna is a symptom of love. And I'll give you a fifth and final definition of love. Premera swabhava yaha premera sambhand se mane Krishna mora nahi premagand. Premera swabhav, the very characteristic of someone who has prem, premera sambhand, where there is relationship of prem. Se mane Krishna mora nahi premagand. The devotee who has love. The natural characteristic of such a devotee, say mane, is that they believe, nahi mora, I have not even one drop of love for Krishna. They feel very, very small. They feel Krishna is so great, Krishna is so wonderful, Krishna is so charming, Krishna is so kind. What have I done in my life to reciprocate with Krishna? And therefore, a natural humility comes about in one who actually has love. If one says they have love, they must have humility. If one is proud, they cannot have love for Krishna. Because if one has love, they see the greatness of Krishna. And in relation to the greatness of Krishna, they feel themselves to be incredibly small. And therefore, dainya, or humility, and prema, love, go hand in hand. So do you see how Chaitanya Charitamrita is helping us to understand how much prema we've actually developed? Bhagavad Gita teaches you that prema, or love, is the goal. Bhagavatam gives you the stories of many, many devotees who have prema. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it gives you the actual practice and ability to see how much prema you can develop in your life. And so, we can look at our lives and ask, as the years go by in Krishna consciousness, how much love have I actually developed for Krishna? And how will you know if you've developed love for Krishna? First thing is service. How much do I love devotional service? How much am I taking on more anxiety, responsibility in Krishna's service? That means more love is there. Second thing is selflessness. How much of my life is guided by my own comfort, my own convenience, my own desires? And how much of my life is guided by what will be pleasing to Krishna? Third thing, steadiness. How much in my life is my devotional service interrupted by the obstacles that come about? When you find that you are becoming more and more immune to all the obstacles of the world, and all they do is serve to increase your devotional service, that means you have love. Fourth thing is, spontaneous, yes. You can see my mind is not going there spontaneously. Yes, spontaneous. The mind is naturally drawn towards Krishna. Throughout the day, the mind is naturally thinking of Krishna. Even when we are separated from Krishna, even when we may be somewhere else, we're thinking Krishna, Krishna's service, Krishna's devotees. When we see a building, we think that would be an amazing temple for Krishna. When we see, when we go shopping and we go, that would be an amazing thing to serve, to give, to offer to Krishna. Everywhere one is seeing Krishna and Krishna's service. And the final thing is smallness. That if one actually has love, then they will feel themselves very, very small, very, very insignificant. They will feel, I am not doing enough. Krishna has done so much for me. What am I doing for Krishna? That natural humility will come about. So these things are there. Chaitanya Charitamrita, through all of these stories, is reminding us what it means to develop love, how we develop love, and in what way we can measure how much love I have for Krishna. Because amongst everything we're doing in life, this is our ultimate mission. Somehow or other, we must develop that love for Krishna. Because if we don't have that love, prema dhana vina vyata daribra jivan, then we're considered a very, very poor soul. If we don't have love for Krishna, then we are impoverished. Real wealth, prema dhana, means to have love. Because then the heart will be completely satisfied. And one final thing, we should use these things never to judge others, but rather to just judge ourselves. Chaitanya Charitamrita also says, Yandra Chita Krishna Prem Kare Yudoi Tandra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vikyayana Bujoi. If you look at another Vaishnav, never judge them because the words, activities and mind of a Vaishnav, sometimes you will not be able to understand what's going on in someone's heart. You may look at someone and think, how that person does that? They are not very advanced. But we don't know what's going on in the heart of another Vaishnava. But we know what's going on in our own hearts. And therefore, when we're looking at all of these things, we can only use it to measure our own love. How selfless am I? How steady am I? How spontaneous am I? How small do I feel? And how much service do I want to do for Krishna? Then you will understand in your own heart how much love I have for Krishna. And then when we look at these things, then we realize, actually Krishna, I don't have so much love. People glorify me, people tell me I'm here so many years. But they don't know, I have no love for Krishna. But still, I have some time. I have some time left. I have some time in this life. I have some energy. So let me try and develop some love. Because at one point in life, everything will be taken away. And all that will remain is the love that you have for Krishna in your heart. That's all that will remain. And that's what we will carry with us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we have a little bit of time if anyone has any question or comment or practical. Yes, okay.
You know, I'm very
proud of
the person you can do lecture for us, and I'm still not able to understand. What was the difference of the gopis' love? Like, you know, I'm not comparing with my love, but there's so many different relationships. Even today, for Krishna. So, what is so amazing? I mean, so much kindness. Why do you consider so high?
Why is the love of the gopis considered so high? High top. Krishna looks at the gopis and he says, Napareham niravatisam yujam sasadhu krityam vibhudayushabhiram Yama bhajandur jarge hashrinkala sambhishtatadva patiyatu sadhanam. Krishna looks at the gopis and says, Napareham niravatisam yujam. He said, I cannot repay you in thousands of lifetimes of Brahma. Krishna looks at the gopis and said, you made me break my own word. Because in Bhagavad Gita I said, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajami aham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. But you made me break my word. Because by your love, I cannot even repay you. Why could Krishna not repay the gopis? The special qualification of the gopis is that they were willing to put everything on the line for Krishna. They were willing to give up their family. They were willing to give up their reputation. They were willing to give up their security. They were willing to give up their own comfort. They were willing to give up every single thing under the sun to just run and be with Krishna. Now when we come to that point, not that tomorrow you just run and give up everything. Because even if we did that, say tomorrow we would wake up and run to Vrindavan and say, Krishna, I'm just with you. We would probably arrive in Vrindavan and our mind would be hijacked by thoughts of everything that we left behind. Because we're still attached. We still have many things we want to achieve in this world. That's the problem. But the gopis didn't have that. They were ready. They were ready to give up everything. They were ready to go with Krishna. Okay, I'll give you two choices. Okay, everyone has to choose A or B. Choice number one. Krishna is giving you two options. Which one would you take? Choice number one. Krishna says to you, I will fulfill all your desires in this life. I will help you to achieve everything you want to achieve in this world. I will help you to, have all comfort through your years in this world. And at the end of life, I take you back to Godhead with me. Option A. Do you even need to hear option B? Option A, yeah? Krishna says, I'll do everything for you, I'll fulfill all your desires, I'll do everything, all comfort, and then at the end I'll take you back to Godhead. Option A. Option B, Krishna comes and says, come with me now. I'll take you back to Godhead now. Mahaprabhu, now. Mahaprabhu, now.
Now.
Ready? Now, this moment. Okay, let's go. Ready? Now, I'm taking you back to Godhead. Who would say option A?
Option A.
Only one. Who would say option B? You're saying. You're saying. Are you ready? If Krishna would come this very moment and say, leave it all behind, or Krishna would say, I'm here, but if you want, I'll do all your desires and then at the end we'll go. Most likely we would choose A. Okay, Krishna, let's just tie it. We'll go nicely. You don't need to plan it nicely. Let's just. But what it means is that we still have many things we want to do in this world. So, a devotee doesn't become irresponsible hearing this, thinking, oh, all these things are useless, all these duties, it's all just about the gopis' love. We're not there. So right now we have to do our dharma. We have to do our duties. But in the end, we have to come to that point where we realize everything in this world is transitory. That doesn't mean we're neglectful to our family. It doesn't mean we don't do our duties in this world. But internally, at one point in our life, we have to come to the point where we realize this is all, Prabhupada says, phantasmagoria. It's all an illusion. One time, Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk and there was a children's playground. And in the background was the city skyline of New York. I think it was New York. So Prabhupada looked and he said, children's playground, adult's playground. All the skyscrapers, adult's playground. Just a playground. What is this? It's all a playground. Ma mubedya punar janma dukhalaya mashashvatam. We just hear life after life, engaged, caught in the mrityu samsara, the cycle of birth and the river of names. So the gopis knew that therefore their love was so deep. The gopis loved Krishna not because he was God. The gopis loved was because he was Krishna. For them, it was not that, oh, Krishna is God, he do this for me, he's powerful. No, they were just charmed by him. Because their heart was charmed by Krishna, they forgot about everything else. Does that help?
On this note, you know, you said Gopis didn't love because he was God. So, in our life, when God comes in some form...
Yeah, in the beginning, we have to love Krishna. We have to remember Krishna is God. Even we worship Radha Krishna, but Srila Prabhupada said we are worshipping them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Yes, Radha and Krishna on the altar, but we don't just like, you know, we treat them with great awe and reverence. Because in the beginning we have to. Here in this purport, what is Prabhupada saying? First you have to do sadhana bhakti, and then you will awaken bhava bhakti. If immediately you try to have the emotions of very advanced devotees, but we have not done the sadhana, then, no. Krite sadhya bhavet sadhya sadhasa sadhana vidha nitya siddhyasya bhavasya prakatyam ridhi sadhyata. Rupa Goswami explains what is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is that process by which you awaken your bhava. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam ridhi sadhyata. By sadhana, bhava will awaken. So in the beginning we approach Krishna as God in a mood of sadhana, and then later on the bhava will come. But for the gopis, it's all bhava, it's all emotion.
Mm. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Yes, there was some other question. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you. Maharaj, how can one who is stone-hearted and unable to understand the philosophy accelerate the development of love of Krishna?
How can one who is stone-hearted accelerate the love for Krishna? Our heart has to become soft. The way our heart becomes soft, probably the most practical way to do it is through service. When you serve others, and you also in loving reciprocation, those devotees serve you, then these relationships of service then begin to soften the heart. When I came to spiritual life, I'll become socially dead. I want to go away from the world, I'll be by myself, I'll be a monk, you know, me and Krishna, and that's it, I'm done with this world. And I was trying to walk away from all the relationships. And then every class I would attend, it was all about relationships. Relationships with devotees, relationship with the holy name, relationship with Krishna, relationship. I was thinking, what? So many relationships? I don't want relationships. I want to just go away and be by myself. And as years went by in spiritual life, I realized that the heart only becomes softened through relationships. And relationships only develop when they're service. So first, we're serving the Vaishnavas. And through our relationship with the Vaishnavas, then we're softening the heart. First, we're going out into the world and we're seeing that there are people who are suffering. And then we try to help them, serve them. And then through those relationships of compassion, our heart is softening. You know, sometimes I never cried in front of Krishna, but sometimes I was on the street trying to share Krishna consciousness, trying to be compassionate. And in those situations, sometimes I had exchanges with people which were very emotional, because it's a relationship of compassion, reaching out to help others. So when you serve others, when you help others, when you try to extend yourself, your heart begins to soften, relationships develop. And then when you look at Krishna, you approach Krishna with a softer heart. And then you can actually enter into a deeper relationship with Krishna. So if you want to soften your heart, then you have to develop relationships. And if you want to develop relationships, you have to serve others. And through that service and relationship, then more will be revealed. Is that okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes. Someone else? Who's that?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the wonderful, inspiring class. Maharaj, you know, times you hear this, you know, like what you just expressed about this kind of love, and we can feel very down in ourselves because we find it hard to accept that, you know, we are weakened by the material energy, we're weakened by our desires. But still, there's a part of our heart that wishes, I wish I, you know, didn't have this, you know, attraction towards material energy, but I do, you know. Is there like a devotional strategy of how we, even in we can accept ourselves and treat ourselves somewhat compassionately, because naturally we run to, or at least for myself, I run to the other side of, oh, I'm so terrible, you know, that all this is presented to me, but I feel like this. So is there a way we can, you know, do it in a safe way so that we're not trying to practice in a depressed state like this?
Yeah, this question often comes up, that we feel, I'm so far away from the ideal. I'm so far away from where I want to be. And the first thing we should realize is that we have developed some love. That we have to. Yes, we have developed some love. Sometimes devotees say, I have no taste for chanting the holy name. But tomorrow if I would come to you and say, okay Mataji, hand your beads over. Today no chanting. I'm sure I'd find you somewhere underneath the desk chanting or something in secret. We actually have more attachment than we know. Okay, it may not be pure, it may not be full, but some attachment is there. That means the process has already worked. Have you not changed? Have you not... Even if your actions have not changed, have your values not changed? Even if you haven't overcome your envy, do you still feel bad now that when you experience envy? If you feel bad, that in itself is an advancement, because previously we were envious and it didn't even affect us. But now at least we feel, oh my God, I'm envy, that's not good. Then later on, even the envy will go away. So we are changing, we are transforming. We should always not just look how far we have to go, but we should also see how far we've come. We have developed some love. We have developed some attachment. And that's very good, because that means if I continue doing the same, then I develop more love. So Krishna consciousness, utsaha nishchaya dhairya tatat karma pravartana, Rup Goswami says, it's enthusiasm, but it's also patience. If you're patient, but you're not enthusiastic, that's mode of ignorance. If you're enthusiastic, but you're not patient, that's mode of passion. For when you're enthusiastic and passionate together, patient together, then that's mode of goodness. We have to realize Krishna consciousness for most of us is going to take a lifetime. You have to be in it for the long haul. It's not going to be a magical thing. It's not just going to happen overnight. It's going to take many years of application, many years of dedication. You have to just be peaceful that this is a lifetime process. And I'm not meant to do it overnight. When you realize it's a lifetime process, then some peacefulness comes within you. But then we still have to be enthusiastic every single day. So, we have time, in one sense. Of course, we don't know tomorrow what may happen. But, yes, we have a lifetime ahead of us in Krishna consciousness. But that means that we have to practice steadily and then increase by increment. So enthusiasm and patience is going to take one lifetime. But we must put effort in. You had to put in effort to bring up your children. You had to put in effort to get a degree. You had to put in effort to establish yourself in your career. Now think about all the effort that you put into all of those things. And I say to you, just 10% of what effort you did for all of those things, even if just 10% of that effort you put into your spiritual life, imagine how advanced we'd be. Imagine if the sacrifice you went through to do any of those things, you did the same amount of sacrifice in spiritual life. Imagine all the time and energy and resource you put into all of those things. Imagine if you just put 10% of that time, energy and resource into spiritual life. Imagine how far we'd be. Whatever we were willing to do to be materially establish ourselves in anything, even if just 10% of that we're willing to do it for spiritual life, imagine how far we'd be. So, we have to put in the time, energy, effort, the dedication, the heart, and then we have to be patient and let the process work. Yes, the dal, the rice, and the water is all in the pot. But now you also have to wait. And you have to just keep stirring. And you have to realize it's just got to stay on the fire sometime. But if you suspend the pot on the ceiling and you keep the fire here, the dal, rice, and water can be in the pot, but it won't cook. So you need to bring it down first and be in the fire. But once you're in the fire, you've got to stay in the fire. So first, bring it down. Many people, they're like the pot up there, and the fire is here. They're here, but they're not really here, because they're not in the fire of it. You see, Krishna consciousness is like an ocean. Some people, you see, they just observe everyone swimming in the ocean and they get enjoyment from that. Oh, it's so nice, everyone swimming and that person sailing. Oh, it's very nice. They're just watching. Some people, they go to the edge of the ocean and they tip, isn't it? Like the masis. They don't go for a full swim. They just put their feet in, they're happy. Isn't it? They're happy, you see on the beach. They're happy. Just put my feet in. Then some people go right in the middle of the ocean and they're swimming, surrounded by the ocean. They think, now I'm in the ocean. Surrounded by water, but still they're on the surface. And then there are some people who dive deep. And they find the jewels at the bottom of the ocean. So like these four categories of people you can find in the Krishna consciousness movement. Some, they just watch all the other devotees. They're happy to watch everyone else chant. They're happy to watch everyone else do the service. They're happy to watch everyone else read Bhagavatam. But what are you doing? No, I'm watching. Then some people, they dip in. Oh, I'll do half a round. Okay, I'll do one round. You know, and then years later, still just a little bit. I'm doing my bit. That's still nice. It's still nice. But they're just dipping. And then there are some who think, no, I'm 16 rounds. I'm practicing everything. I'm in the middle of the ocean. But have they gone deep? Who is going deep? So first thing is, you have to bring the pot down, you have to be in the fire. And then once you're in the fire, don't get... just stay in the fire. Everything will come. You have to stay in the fire of Krishna consciousness. So, patience and enthusiasm is needed. will happen.
Yes.
How do we keep the fire on? Sometimes
it's on. You stay around the fire
once. Association is important. You have to be around those who are fired up. You see, like you all know Shruti Dharma Prabhu, he's a very amazing devotee. So when I met him first, I thought, this person is in the fire. You know, like every day, this person is like so into it. So I was attracted. I was attracted to be around him. Morning to night, day after day, taking on all discomfort, taking on all responsibility, doing what no one else would do to serve Krishna. I thought, this person is amazing. I want this person's association. Later on, I realized that association came with a price. Because when you are around people who are in the fire, if you want to stay around those people, they'll also put you in the fire. And then he started making me do all these things in my spiritual life. I was like, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? And it all came back. Shri Ramaphu, Shri Ramaphu. He would call me on my phone and his name would come up. And I tell you, it was mixed feelings. I told him this one. I said, on one hand, I was so happy. A sadhu is calling me. Now I will get sadhu sangha. A sadhu is calling me. I was so happy. But another side of me said, in this call, there is going to be some element of surrender. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm ready. So every time his name would come on my phone, there was a decision. Pick it up or not. And I told him, Prabhu, many times I did not want to pick up your phone. I was not ready to. The Vaishnavas are like that. They take you. Prabhupada said, hang on to my dhoti. I've got the back door key to the spiritual world. So you have to hang around. So I think it's like that. We have to inspire each other. We work off each other's energy. So you have to create that kind of sangha where there's energy. You see, when Prabhupada's disciples were there, how much energy there was. They were just like taking each other to another level. You know, someone said, oh, I've done this for Krishna. Oh, he's done that. Then maybe I can do this for Krishna. And then that person did that. And he looked at him and said, he's done that. Maybe I can do this. And it was just expanding like this more and more and more. How much these devotees achieved? Why? Because they created such an energy. Shall I tell you something amazing?
Yeah.
In 1976, the devotees in America ordered 1 million Bhagavad Gitas to be printed in one print run. In order to bring, this is how many books they were distributing, in order to bring all the paper to the printing press, it came on a train 3 miles long. Yeah, to print 1 million Bhagavad Gitas. Now let me tell you something amazing. In 1976, for anyone to print 1 million of any book in the history of the world, it was a world record. No one in the history of the world at that time had printed 1 million of anything. But the devotees, just a few of them, on the order of Srila Prabhupada, because they had such a service attitude and because they were fired up, they did it. Just see how much you can achieve in Krishna consciousness if everyone gets into the fire. So we have to fire each other up, and then we stay in the fire. That's the real community. That's the advantage of community. So we want to generate that kind of energy. We should generate a vision for the temple. Where do we want to go? Where do we want to be? What are we going to offer to Prabhupada in 5 years' time? Think big. Shoot for the rhinoceros. Isn't it, Prabhupada said? Shoot for the rhinoceros. And then if you don't get it, people will say, anyway, he was doing something. But if you do it, people say, wow. So think big. Try it. And you can do it. Just like book distribution, isn't it? Many years ago, we didn't have South London, but now you've grown up. Because you think big, you try it, you do something, and the energy comes. And it... So yeah, stay in the fire. Yes, Guru.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class and answering the questions. And just building upon that, long time, at least I have, and some others also have, where we have some thought process that look, what others are doing or what Krishna consciousness is doing is okay. But I have my preconceived ideas, right? Whether it is about doing a service, whether it is about watching TV, or it is about doing any other activity, right? Because we have done something for long, that is right. That's how I do, right? How do we give up those kind of habits or I would say activities so we can progress in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, so we have a certain way of functioning in life, and it's hard to break out of that, those habits. It's hard to... The most progressive people in the world, whether materially or spiritually, is that they're always finding better ways to do things. You know they say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to change room. In other words, what you need to do is go to a place where you're challenged to think bigger, to think different. If you look at, they say the most dangerous phrase in the English language is, we've always done it this way. And then we think we can't do it in a different way. So if you look at successful entrepreneurs, what was Apple's slogan? For many years, Apple, Steve Jobs, what was their tagline? Anyone know?
Think different.
So, Srila Prabhupada, he was always thinking different, isn't it? He was always ready to learn. He was always ready. Prabhupada came to... When something wasn't working, or when he thought there was an idea of something that could be done better, he was ready to take a risk into the unknown. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, then he came to America to take a risk. When he came to America, first he was in Butler, Pennsylvania. But then later on he realized, I've got to go to New York, because here we're not going to do it. So he took a risk, he went to New York. In New York, he was in uptown New York, but he realized, we're not going to do it here. We have to go to the Lower East Side. So he took a risk. So we have to always be taking a risk to try to find bigger and better ways to do things. And this is a rule not just for spiritual life, this is a rule for any entrepreneur knows this. So, Christopher Columbus said, if you want to find out what's on the horizon, then you have to be willing to sail away from the shores. How you will discover what's on the other side of the horizon if you're not ready to move away from the safety of the shore? I've always done it like this. I have these things that, no, take a risk. Now start taking a risk for Krishna. Now's the time. We've got to start taking some risks. We took risks in everything in our life. Many of you know better than me. You came from a different country and you came to London. That was a big risk. But we did it. Our parents did it. Why they took that risk? Because they thought there's a better life. So we are not unfamiliar with taking risks. Someone says, someone said to me, I'm not a risk taker. I said, sit down. And let me show you how in your life you've taken so many risks. But for Krishna, we're not willing to take a risk. For everything, we'll take a risk. But for Krishna, we're not willing to take a risk. So we have to be willing to take a risk. And when you take a risk for Krishna, then Krishna will start showing himself to you. You think, wow, Krishna is there. Maybe I should take another risk. Maybe Krishna will show me more of himself. Then you become addicted to taking risks. Because risks mean an ability to meet Krishna. So we must always challenge ourselves. You know, every day, Prabhu, when I go in front of Srila Prabhupada, every day when you go in front of Srila Prabhupada, you know what I feel in my heart? I just feel challenged. Every day we have Guru Puja at the manor, and when we go in front of Prabhupada, we just feel challenged. Because Prabhupada, he just took every risk. He sacrificed every comfort. He went to every place where no other person would go. And then you think, then what am I doing to reciprocate with that? Am I just going to live in my safe, comfortable, secure life? Is that my way of showing my gratitude to what when Srila Prabhupada was willing to take all discomfort, was willing to sacrifice all security? So it's a challenge when we go in front of Srila Prabhupada. There's no more excuses. Sometimes I think Srila Prabhupada's life was crafted by Krishna in such a way that we can have no more excuse. Because someone can't say, I can't do it because I'm old. Sorry, Prabhupada was 69 when he came. Someone can't say, I can't do it because my material situation is so unstable. Sorry, Prabhupada only came with 40 rupees. Someone can't say, I can't do it because I don't have good health. Sorry, Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks at sea. Someone can say, no, I can't do it because I don't have good association. Sorry, Prabhupada came all along, he didn't know anyone. Someone can't say, oh no, I can't do it because it's an alien culture, I can't connect to... Sorry, Prabhupada came from India to hippie America. I mean, if that wasn't alien, I don't know what it is. You start thinking, oh my God, I don't have any excuses left, but I can't do it. Excuses only sound good to the person making them. So we have to push each other a little bit. So I'm speaking a little like this, pushing. Prabhupada said this is a pushing movement. It's a pushing movement. Prabhupada said, my spiritual master pushed me. I am pushing you. And you have to push the future generations. We have to push each other. Just like one train is pulling one other train, carriage, and another carriage, and then the whole train goes back to Godhead. So we have to challenge each other a little bit. Amazing things can happen. Krishna consciousness is unlimited. Just like Mataji is a book distributor. So, it's unlimited. Devotees do things. Now one devotee in one day, you know how many books he distributed hand to hand? 3,000 books.
3,000 books? He distributed 30 Bhagavatam sets on the street, 40 Bhagavatam sets, to people who know nothing about Krishna consciousness. How in the world do you sell a full Bhagavatam set to someone who knows nothing about Krishna consciousness? This devotee did it 40 times. In one day. He went on the street and he collected $15,000 in donations on one day. How's it possible? Because Krishna, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanodara, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of mystics, and wherever there is a devotee like Arjuna, Tatra, there, Shri, there will always be opulence, victory, and all success. That's the invitation that we have. So we want to meet Krishna in this life. We don't want to just believe in Krishna, we want to meet Krishna. But if you want to meet Krishna, you have to take some risks. So we should all go back today and say, what risk am I taking for Krishna? And in that risk, you'll come face to face with Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I just messaged Vihar Prabhu that we're coming, and he made so many arrangements. Very short notice, and then all of you came Friday night. Here you are Saturday morning, so bright and early. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to have your association and be with you. Long time we didn't come to South Norwood. It's always nice to be here. Your Sangha is very inspiring, and the spirit of the temple is always amazing. And we only pray that you can go higher and higher. And together we can do more and more for Srila Prabhupada. And let's think big. Let's think not just what South Norwood is now. It's already amazing. But let's think how much more amazing it could be. How much more we could do. Let's put South Norwood back on the map. It's already on the map. But it's there. It's there. But not everyone knows about it. Do you know there are people who don't know about this temple?
Yes.
Mr. Shaker, did you ever hear about this temple?
When I was there, I visited
once. Oh, he visited once before that now. Raj, is this your first time here?
Yeah.
He is one of our leaders in Pandava Sena. See, he doesn't know this temple. Why not? It's his fault. We want everyone to come here. We want to bring the energy here. We want to bring the Vaishnavas here. And when the Vaishnavas come, when there's a connection, where there's inspiration, the miracles begin to happen. Let's do something for Prabhupada. Life is short. At the end, Prabhupada will come to us. And Prabhupada will say, what did you do for me? Sometimes I think that. One day at the end, Prabhupada will come and he'll say, what did you do? Something we should have to report. So let's do something. It's a great adventure. And you know, South here, so many towns. Isn't it? So many cities here, so many people. I know, because whenever we come here, we get stuck in so much traffic. That much traffic. There's so much traffic here. So many people. Such a big field. Go out there today, knock a house, see who's behind the door. Miracles will happen. And this is the magic of Krishna consciousness. So thank you so much for allowing us to come, and we hope to be with you again. We'll do some book distribution next time.
Yeah, definitely.
Go out together, do the Harinam, do something together. And experience the magic. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. 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 Jai.